take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 5, please. Romans chapter 5. And find it your way there. Stand up. We'll read it together. Romans chapter 5. And I know we read and studied verse 1 last week, and we're going to go back, start back in verse 1 again this week. So, Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Thanks. Have a seat. Father, we thank you again for this time to be together. Lord, we know that we're just so blessed, and our minds are just so overwhelmed by the truths of things like the ability and the grace you have given us to be able to contemplate things like the amazing sacrifice of your Son at Calvary and how he would die, how he would take our sin on himself and take the wrath that we deserve, that he would exhaust the cup of wrath, fully satisfying your demand for the sin to be punished. And then 3 days later, he would victoriously triumph, showing that the grave had no power and that it was completely subject to him. And I just pray and I ask, Lord, that as our minds and our hearts contemplate those things, that we would then take these truths that are going to be unpacked in Romans and that we would let them sink deeply into our hearts and our minds to, Lord, to encourage us, to challenge us, to shore up the foundation of our right understanding of who you are and what you've done. And I pray, Lord, ultimately that this would all work in accord with the Spirit so that we would be drawn closer to you and have a desire that is deeper for you today than we had even when we got here. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're back here in Romans chapter 5, and we're going to be here for a while. Every time I look at the first section of Romans 5, I think, well, how can you get through more than about a phrase a week? And you just can't. And even if you do a phrase a week, you're still like, I could probably go back and hit a word that I missed. And have plenty of time. Brother Ronnie and I were talking about it this morning. You cannot mine to the bottom Romans. You can't get to the bottom of it. You can dig in it forever, and there's always going to be so much more to enjoy there. And so that having been said, when you look here, this whole, especially the whole chapter, of course, but especially these first five verses really go together. So until we get through Romans 5, 1 through 5, every time we'll start back over in verse 1 to kind of get our minds reset into it. But let's just remind very quickly what he said, what we looked at last week. And what we looked at last week was there is an understanding that we have finally come to in Romans, that justification comes only by faith. You cannot work and earn it. You can't do it. You can spend your entire life trying to make God be happy with you by what you do, and you will never ever be able to make yourself right with God by what you do on your own power. It has to be that we come by faith. That's God's requirement. Those are his terms of peace that we talked about last week. And we talked about how, for weeks, we've talked about in Romans, how as sinners, we've put ourselves into a position of being enemies with God. That means we're at war with God. So when God extends terms of peace, we talked about last week how they're unconditional terms. That means we don't get to come to the table and say, okay, God, I will take your terms of peace as long as you meet my demands as well. And God says, no dice. You come, you bring bring all of your nothing and lay it down before me. And then you take what I tell you, and that's what you get. And if you're willing to accept that, then we have peace because I bring peace through my Son. And we do, and we come, and we accept Christ. We become Christ followers when we believe what God has said about our sinful state and about the sacrifice of his Son being acceptable payment for our sin, and the power of the resurrection gives us that hope of life eternal now and into eternity. So anyway, we have to accept those terms of peace. Now, then that's important because the terms of peace, we only get those because they come to us through Christ and all that Christ has done. If you're a Christian, every day that you wake up, if you have nothing else to be thankful for, you have Jesus Christ to be thankful for. every single day. No matter what's going on, no matter what trial or burden or horrible circumstance you are going through, the one thing that a Christian has that absolutely no one can take from them is they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you can get up and you can praise Him. And that is a good thing to know and to enjoy and to appreciate and to live by. Now, there is another aspect of this, though, that we want to look at this week. And we're really only going to have enough time to latch on to really one word in verse 2. And so, if you will, we're going to just grab all of our attention around that word access there in verse 2. Because there's something very significant about it that I don't want us to miss before we move through the rest of the verse in the upcoming weeks and the rest of this section of Romans chapter 5. But he says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, access is something that usually catches everybody's attention. When you need access to something, it's important to you. I remember one particular instance when I was a little bit younger. I was in my early teens. And when I was in my early teens, a lot of you probably never even heard of half of this stuff I'm going to tell you. But anyway, when I was in my early teens, the most popular Christian band in the world was DC Talk. And they were amazing. And as a teen, I was like, these guys are incredible. And they had a song, and it was Jesus Freak, and it was awesome. And, I mean, anytime you get to talk about an overweight guy's tattoos shaking, you have to listen to the song. If you don't remember the song, just YouTube it, okay? Great song. Anyway, they were it, man. If you were a teenager trying to follow Christ at that time in life, they were it. You knew every song they had. I went to their Jesus Freak concert 3 times. That's how much I liked them. One particular time, they were at Liberty University, and they actually came from Liberty. And so, anyway, it was a big deal. Well, we were there, and the church that I was in at the time in North Carolina, and our pastor had actually been at Liberty University when the guys had been there going to Liberty. And so I'm there, we're at the concert, and the pastor's son walks up and just says, "We have access to the guys backstage." And I'm like, this is great. And teenage me is just elated. And then I want you to know what happened next. Then he said, but only for 3 of us. And I thought to myself, well, I am the biggest fan, so clearly I'm one. So there's really only 2 spots left. I didn't make the cut. And I was crushed. I was crushed because I so desperately wanted access. I mean, these guys were it. I mean, I'd seen them everywhere. They were crazy. They were wild. And they talked about Jesus all the time, which is all things that I liked. And I was like, okay, I'm going to finally get to meet them. And I didn't, because I could not get access to them. Now, the reason that that sets me off, the reason that that memory is still with me, is because of the importance of access when you want access to somebody. And the thing in this passage is, the access that we are being offered is not access to a now washed up group. You know? I mean, I could probably go meet with them now. No, I'm just kidding. It is not, I still love those guys, and 2 of them are still going strong. But anyway, it is not access to just a normal person. It's not even access to the president or anything like that. The access that we're being offered in this passage is actually access to God Himself. And I want you to know, if you're here and you're not a Christian, you're like, well, everybody has access to God. No. Because you can only get access to God through Jesus. If you will not come through Jesus, then you do not have access to God. And I want you to know, as bad as I wanted to meet Toby, Michael, and Kevin, yes, I knew their names. Yes, I'm a nerd. Okay, I'm cool with that. As much as I wanted to meet them, and as incredible as it would have been, it is nothing compared to meeting God, to knowing God, and to having access to Him. And when I look at the beauty of this one word in this particular passage, the thing that it thrusts on us is it says, you can have access to God, but you have to be willing to come the one way you can come. Let's look at a few things about it, and then we'll see what God has for us. But let's look, first of all, notice that the access is through Jesus alone. He says, through whom, chapter 5, verse 2, through whom, ties us right up into the end of verse 1, which says, through our Lord Jesus Christ, then through whom. So if you're going to have access to God, it's going to be just through Jesus. Only through Jesus can you have access to God the Father. Jesus was very explicit about this himself. In John chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He didn't say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and if you can find a better way, just go ahead that way. He didn't say, I could be a way, I might be a truth, and I could be somewhat of a life, and if you're looking for access to the Father, I might know how to get there. He didn't say any of that. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. No access to God except for through the Son. Now, when I was studying and reading about this, I came across this story. And sometimes with preachers, you just got to watch them. You know, you can read an illustration in a book. You're like, that is the most incredible, perfect illustration, how it fits in every detail. And then you later figure out that, you know, maybe they embellished it a little bit. So I don't know for sure that this is 100% true, but it illustrates the point very well. So just let the illustration sink in whether or not it happened exactly like this. But there was a Confederate soldier who had been badly wounded in the war. And because he was so badly wounded, he was released as a prisoner of war. He had a brother who was still a prisoner of war and a mom who was at home without anyone to help or to tend to the farm or to help her in the rebuilding of everything after the war. And so this now well-wounded brother who would be incapable of going home and taking care of his mom went to approach President Lincoln. And he got there to approach the president, and guess what happened? He cannot go. You cannot go see the president. He was met with closed doors and armed guards and no access. And then as the story goes, he went outside and began to sit on the side, over there, off to the side on a bench and began to weep because he was so concerned about his brother and so concerned about his situation of his mom. And as he wept, one of Abraham Lincoln's sons, Tad, walked by and sees the soldier weeping and sees his state. And he goes up to him and he says, sir, what's wrong? And the man explains the story. He says, I've been a prisoner of war. I've been released. My brother is still a prisoner of war. And if he's not released, there'll be no one to take care of my mom, to take care of our family, and to keep everybody going. And I just came to try to get an audience with the president to see if I could get my brother released. And Tad reached down and took the man by the arm. And he hooked his arm right in with his. Now this time, as they approached, instead of closed doors and armed guards, doors flung open in front of them. Guards stepped to the side and stood at attention as young Tad led this soldier in past everybody else. They went right on into the house, right into the room where President Lincoln was sitting, and he sat down and had a conversation about his family situation with the President of the United States of America. And all of that was granted to him because of who he walked in with. He walked in with the son of the most powerful man in that room. And see, the picture there is that of Christ taking us into the presence of God. If we try to come to the presence of God by any means, I don't care what our story is, I don't care what's happened to us in the past, how we feel about our current situation, what you're going through, we can go with everything in the world imaginable, and we could run up to the gates of heaven and be like, let me in, God, we need to talk, we need to talk. He said, no, there's no entrance for you. You're barred from the presence of God. and you and I are like, we can't go in. We're destroyed under this. And we look at that, and it's a terrible situation. And then the son of the king comes by and reaches out with his nail-pierced hand, takes you by the arm, stands you up. And now as you approach the gates, that myriad of angels is now formed into formation, standing at perfect attention, singing glorious songs. And they say, just hallelujah, as the king's son walks through the gate holding you. And you walk right on down all the way to the throne, and you're there before God, and you have access to the God who is in charge of everything, all because the son brought you. Now, that is something that every single person who ever lives needs to know. And the reason for that is because every single one of us was born, whether we fully understand it or not, we were born with this desire, this hunger, this attraction towards God. But we're barred from getting to God because of our sin and the wrath of God towards us because of our sin. And so when the Son of God says, I can take your sin out of the way and I can take you into the presence of God the Father, you can have access, we look at that and we go, what? I would have been elated if they had come out and said, all right, they said we can take four. I would have been so over the moon excited. And instead, I didn't get access to DC Talk, but I get access to the God that made their vocal cords. You tell me that's not impressive. That's awesome. Okay. Now, Jesus is the way that we get there, but there is a part of this that cannot be overlooked because it has to be restated because he is going to say it over and over and over again all throughout Romans, and that is, it is faith in what Jesus has done and in Jesus' work alone. And this can't be told to us or to the world enough times. It is by faith. It is not by works. You guys hear, you know, you with me? All right, I just kind of, you're zoned out a little bit, kind of pull back in. Football will be there when you get home. Promise. Golden Corral has yet to run out of food. It's going to be fine. Just hang in for a few more minutes, okay? Faith is required to have access to God. Now, look, when we look at this, the ability to, the power to go to God is all done and managed by the work of his son. Our job is simply to, in faith, respond to what God has already done through his son. We're just looking at what God has done, and we say, God, I believe that that work of your son really gives me access to you. I believe that. And I tell you what, I'm 36. And I want you to know that I, in 36 years, have never done anything that would make God say, hey, come over here and talk to me. I've never done anything so notable that the mayor of Bunn would call me up and say, come over here and talk to me. Is there a mayor of Bunn? There is one. I knew Alan would know because it's political, and you know. So I guess the mayor should call me since I didn't even know there was one. But anyway, no. But look, when you look at this, I've never done anything so notable that any person ever would be like, hey, come over here, you're notable. And that's with all of us who are all on the same playing field, much less God. But how naive are we that so many times what we do is we train and manipulate ourselves into believing, I'm going to do something that's going to make God say, hey, come over here and talk to me. You're incredible. I'm impressed with you. I mean, I've known a lot of humans, and you're just like so different and so much better. We look at it that way. But biblically speaking, there's never going to come a time when God's going to look at us and go, that was impressive. That, I've never seen that before. That is incredible. Now, I've said that before about some things, but it was something else altogether. Some people can cuss and put together cuss words in a way I'd never seen before, and that's impressive. But I don't think that's going to get you an invitation to the access of God, all right? Faith is required to get that access to God, and grace is the description of what we have to hold in our minds to know. When you have access to God, that is totally in the standing of grace. Now, have you ever heard the expression to beat a dead horse? All right. I don't even think there's flesh left on this horse for Paul. I think we're taking the horse's bones and just beating them together. Okay? Now, why is he so repetitive throughout this whole book? Because we are so inclined to try to do anything other than the way that God wants us to do it. We're so inclined. Human beings, as Mr. Billy says, they are the most unusual creatures. There's nothing like us. We are all stubborn as mules. Right this minute, you're thinking of, yes, my spouse is. Yes, my kid is. And I want you to know, they're thinking the same thing. We are so stubborn, and what happens is, in the book of Romans, there's just this overwhelming just drumbeat of, you cannot do this, you cannot do this, you cannot do this. And listen, I want you to know that right now, if you and I thought for just a second about the access that we have to God, it would become instantly overwhelming if we really understood what we were saying when we said we had access to God. Because when we think about access to God, we often think about, oh yeah, well, God probably wants me to come there, so therefore I'll just go in and it'll be cool, and it'll be awesome, he'll be happy that I'm there. Now, God does want us to be there. We have no other way to get there unless he wants us to be there and invites us through his son. But I want you to know the thing that we miss there is this cultural idea of we get this mentality that God is just, he is just so lonely in heaven. And he's just been sitting around trying to figure out what he could do to just get us to like him. And if we would just like him, then God could finally have a complete life. We, as a culture, an American culture, we present God that way. As if God is needy and we're the ones who can fulfill God. Now let me tell you, that's wrong. That's wrong. Here's the thing. We're totally needy and only God can fulfill us. Okay, that's the reality of it. And so when you look at this, he's like, all right, you can come into my presence. And then when we get there, I want you to know you're not going to walk into the throne room of God and be like, yo, JC, I'm here. What's up? I know you're glad I'm here. And we're not going to be like that. We have no idea exactly what our reaction will be, but I can tell you this, it will not be that. We will come in, and I have this overwhelming feeling. Have you ever walked into the presence of somebody and you were just like, man, I probably shouldn't be here with you. You're like here, and I'm like here. I remember one time, this is just off the cuff here, but I got to tell you this. When I came to Southeastern, Paige Patterson was the president, and he was like here, level-wise. And I was like here, somewhere. And so, like, we were all intimidated by him. And, I mean, the man shot and killed everything. I mean, he had giraffes and lions and tigers and bears and oh my's. There were even two liberals mounted on his wall in his office. Couldn't resist it. I saw it. I had to go for it. All right. Now, listen. One of the things, though, I tell you, I mean, just this is just a story about how he was. I was outside the girls' dorm waiting for my sister, who lived in the girls' dorm, to come out so we could go do something. And I had a football, and I was just, you know how you do, you just throw it up to yourself, because I had a feeling my sister would be a little while. And so I'm just, and he walks by, and he sees me up there, and he goes, you know, that thing's a lot more fun with somebody to throw it to. And he stopped, and he threw the football with me until my sister came out. And by the way, I was correct. It was a little while. And he stood there with me. As soon as she came out, he said, oh, okay, buddy, you have a good day. He does his arm like that. If you watch a video of him, you'll see it. And then he walks up. And I thought to myself, you know, when I saw him on the sidewalk, I almost just looked down at the ground and did like this, like, sorry, sir, I didn't mean to be here when you were here. And he's just a man. And I think of the access that I have to God. And when I and you and I come to God, when we come in, our feelings shouldn't be chest out, nose up. We come in humbly. But the Son of God then says, come right here. And there's a boldness that comes to the Christian when you have access to God by the Son. And so you don't come in cocky, you come in bold. Boldness is not centered on you. Cockiness is centered on you. If you come in and you're like, you know, I'm so glad I'm here, and I'm sure you are too, you've missed the point. But when you come in, he's like, you have made me be able to be here, and I love you, and you love me, and I just want to talk to you. You see, this word access really affects several things in our lives, and I'm going to hit them real quick, and then I'm going to be done. Okay? One of those things is prayer. You have access to the very presence of God in prayer right now, if you're a Christian who's following Jesus Christ, who's a believer in his sacrifice and his death and resurrection. If you have that, you have access to the Father by prayer right now. How many of you, when you pray, do you feel like with all boldness you can stroll right up into the throne room? You've been invited. You have an access, all access guaranteed pass into the throne room of God. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's awesome. You know what? Your access is full salvation if you're in Christ too. It's not just a one-time pass in there. You're always invited into the presence of God. And I want you to know that one day it won't just be through prayer. Access into the presence of God one day will be literal, physical, face-to-face access. We talked about that last week, and you guys, feel free to be more excited about that than you currently are. It is a fulfillment of what you were made for. You were made to love and enjoy and just go goo-goo over God. All that we pour out into everything else in life was meant to be aimed at God. And when we finally enjoy that access to God and enjoy that just bubbling over, man, that's when we're fully enjoying together with him. Now, access is the removal of those barriers. It puts it properly deals with sin. If access to God were based on me dealing with my own sin or me being good enough, then my access would come and go. I might swipe my card and get access one day and then come back an hour later and swipe again and get denied. But my access to God is totally dependent on what Jesus has done, not what I have done. Therefore, I always have access to God to be able to come to him, to call out to him, and just put all that I have in him. Also, this is the last thing, and then I'm going to finish up for today. My full confidence, because I have access now, is that God is going to fulfill every promise he's ever made to me, that one day I'll get to have that access person to person, face to face, glorified body he's going to give me to him and face to face. That is the promise that I have. Now, in response to this, for our time of prayer and reflection on what God's word has said, it's really very simple. And it makes very good sense if you think about it. If you're a Christian, pull out your card, access your Father. And why don't you just talk to him right now? Now, I don't say this tongue-in-cheek. I don't say this just because preachers say this kind of stuff all the time. But I want you to know, I don't have a doubt that in this room that there are multiples of you who have not taken advantage of your access to the throne of God in prayer in a while. I don't count lunch and dinner prayers. I'm talking about meaningful conversation with your Father. It's been a while for some of y'all. You know how I know that? Because because I'm also a Christian who struggles every day. And there are times when I go and I don't go to the access that I have. And I've gone periods of time without it. And I'm telling you what, you get dried up, don't you? Have any of y'all ever experienced this, or am I the only one? If I'm not alone, don't leave me alone. And so what I want you to do is, some of you, you just need to just go right back in. Just get back in there in that access the Lord, access Him for what He's done, praise Him for how He's working, praise Him that He has given you access through His Son, and just talk with Him. And so you're going to play. All right, Reese is going to play. And look, if you want to, you can turn the edge of this stage into your own little prayer area. You get down on your knees before the Lord, and you just call out to Him. You say, "Father, I'm here." And just take advantage of the access that you have. If you want to do that, just come out now. Some are coming. I encourage you to join them. You can pray from anywhere. You don't have to come up here, but if you so desire to show physically in your body the desire that you have to go spiritually in prayer, then I encourage you to do so. And as you're praying, Christians, I just want you to rejoice and celebrate this access that you have. Do it with boldness, but not with self-confidence. Also, there's also this desire in my heart that you would fully understand, if you're here, a couple of things. If you're not a Christian, I want you to hear again the words of John 14:6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." That verse does not get any more, it doesn't get any more simplistic than that. There's nothing clearer than that in all of the world. If you want access to God, forgiveness of sin, you can do it one way, through Jesus. There is no other way. God will not accept any other currency in heaven other than the blood of His Son. It's the only thing He'll accept. And if you this morning are here and you say, "You know what? I am not a Christian. I do not have access to God. And I need forgiveness because I know I'm a sinner. And I believe what the Bible says about Jesus. I believe that He died for my sin. I believe that He was buried. I believe that He rose again the third day, showing His victory and triumph over death." The Bible says if a person will believe that in their heart, in truth, in reality, if you, not just saying words, not just doing something to do something in church, but if from your heart, by faith, you say, "I believe that about Jesus," the Bible says that person will be saved. The Bible also says this will happen. When God really gets a hold of that heart, it's going to affect your tongue, too. And I don't just mean you're going to quit cussing people out on Monday morning. I mean you're going to tell somebody that God has gotten a hold of your heart and He's changed you. And you're going to say, "Hey, I got saved." And somebody might say, "Well, what exactly does that mean?" And you might respond, "I don't know all of it, but I know this. I went in one way and Jesus made me different when I called on Him. And I got faith He's going to do it all the way to the end." Is there anybody here today who would say, "I need that. That's exactly what I need right now, is that access to God through His Son, and I believe that His Son can give it to me, has the power." Is there anybody here? Just slip your hand up. Just say, "Hey, preacher man, that's me. That's what I need, access to God." All right. As these are continuing to pray, Reese is going to play just another minute here. I want to thank you guys for your attention, and I'm going to pray. Father, just thank you that right this second, our words are rising up like incense to you, and they are a fragrant aroma in your nose. You love to hear from your people, and you have made access for us through the blood of your Son by taking away our sin and making us right, by giving us the righteousness of your Son and taking away all our sinfulness when we come by faith to Him. Lord, I pray for every believer in this room. I pray that they would cling tightly to that access, that they would rejoice in it, that they would praise you for it. And I pray for every lost person in this room. Lord, I pray that you would create in them a craving desire that can only be satisfied by you. and that their hunger and thirst for you would so overwhelm them that it would wreck them in every other aspect of their lives until they turn to you and find in you the sweet reward of access into the presence of God Almighty. Now, Lord, I pray that you take the rest of our time together and the time to fellowship and celebrate over what you're doing through Operation Christmas Child. And I pray that you would use this in a mighty way to bring glory to your name and use this church body to go above and beyond what the world says to do and let us pour ourselves out into this ministry to be a help to reach out to these people all around the world who need the gospel and need to see a tangible, physical representation of your love. Help us to be involved. Help us to be sold out to you in it. In Jesus' name, amen.